If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday, just after 11. And as always, we're talking parenting because it's Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. It's breastfeeding week, if you didn't know. It is a celebration each year, a week of celebration each year to promote, obviously, breastfeeding week. But I'm not the expert in this field. If you've been breastfeeding two children for a year, so it's 2 years of my life I did dedicate to the art of breastfeeding. So I do feel it's a very long time ago, though. That I also have to admit. But I do feel I know something. But the same thing is, like, I see it so often, so many moms who struggle with breastfeeding don't know where to find the balance. Also, going back to work, there's so many things that can be very stressful. And that I never experienced. For me, even when people, like, introduced bottles and stuff like that, I on purpose didn't introduce it just because it was so much hard work. And breastfeeding for me was just so easy. It was like, poof, on the boob and it's done. And I never saw myself, I have to say, as a breastfeeding mom, to be honest. I wanted to from the start breastfeed, but I never, you know, I don't know.
It was your identity.
And now thinking back, it's like I can't imagine it any other way. And I loved it. I absolutely love breastfeeding. But again, I know so many people struggle with it, and I didn't have those struggles. Luckily, it's a blessing in the end of the day. But talking with me today, and she's been a guest on my show before, is Natasha Willoughby, and we're talking about World Breastfeeding Week. Why? What is happening? What is World Breastfeeding Week, Natasha? So again, before she says hi properly, because she's already laughing in the background and all sorts of things, I have to remind you that she is a registered dietitian and lactation consultant. She's actually doing her PhD at the moment. So that's also pretty. So soon I'm going to have to say Dr. Natasha Willoughby. Maybe not so soon.
Hello,
Natasha. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes. So what is World Breastfeeding Week about?
So it's an exciting, like you said, celebration of breastfeeding that happens across the world every year in the first week of August. So we're almost at the end of it. And it was started in 1992 to raise awareness about breastfeeding and to promote breastfeeding. And it is now also aligned to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So we're all working kind of in the right direction in terms of promoting breastfeeding.
I love that. And I do think, again, like I said, for me, it was just more out of convenience than anything else, because the milk is there. You don't have to clean bottles. You have to obviously clean your boob.
but that's not as complex.
I don't have to sterilize it and all sorts of things. So it was out of convenience that I actually but you do get fed this whole thing of breast is best and all those type of things. But what is the theme this year for the World Breastfeeding Week?
So the theme is prioritizing breastfeeding and creating sustainable support systems. And when I did a bit of research about the latest stats, overall, globally, we are doing quite well, because in 2023, our global exclusive breastfeeding rate at 6 months was 48%. So about half of babies were still being exclusively breastfed at 6 months, which is quite impressive. But unfortunately, the situation looks very different in South Africa. So in 2016, we were about one third moms still breastfeeding exclusively at 6 months. And that actually dropped down to 22% in 2024. So it's less than a quarter of babies that follow the World Health Organization requirements or recommendations of exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months. And we can ascribe this decline to factors including the normalization of formula feeding, and that is not a bad thing in itself, but it is unfortunately very much driven by aggressive marketing from the infant formula companies, far beyond what is needed. So a lot of moms are being fed narratives of they are not doing well enough on breastfeeding, and that is why they need to add formula. And then they end up not breastfeeding as long as they had planned to or as long as they had wanted to. And that is sad. So this is in no way intended to shame moms who have chosen to formula feed their babies. but rather a criticism of formula companies playing into a new mom's doubt and a new mom's guilt.
And I mean, there's lots of narratives like that as well, where I sometimes tell moms that sometimes you feel like you're making a choice, but in some ways it was just one thing feeding on another thing, feeding on another thing, because you are uncertain. I can remember, like, and this is also, I want to say my breastfeeding consultant was really wonderful, and I love her to bits. But I remember, it's obviously not the only thing she told me when I was breastfeeding, but this one thing got stuck in my head completely, where she told me that you have to feed like 20 minutes per breast or something like that. And again, I'm pretty sure this is not, because I know her and I recommend moms to go to her now because I know how amazing she is. But she said this one thing, and for some other reason, it got stuck in my head and it kind of became an obsession with me. And my son never drank for 20, 30
minutes. Especially as they get older and they get more efficient, they get better at breastfeeding. Yeah. A lot of kids don't
and
feed 20 minutes.
Then I felt like I was doing, and this was, and like I said, I didn't actually struggle with breastfeeding. On the contrary, he was such an efficient, that's probably also why I fed so long, is because he's like 5-10 minutes proper feeding that he did. I mean, in the beginning, it was maybe 10 to
of
15
course,
minutes.
In the
But later it was a little, it was even better at sucking and it was very quick. So it was never like this where moms are like, oh, it's so much work of like 30, 40 minutes. I never had that with him. So for me, it was really so convenient because literally I could go into a bathroom without being suspicious or anything. It was like, done.
Life goes on.
And life goes on. And anywhere I could just sit. And it was so quick that it was happening. But this one thing got stuck. And that's what you're saying, like feeding into mom's doubts. Because that created this doubt in me that I wasn't doing it wrong. And I mean, I can't remember that I considered formula. I can't remember that. But I can remember. So if someone is then telling you, you know what, it might be easier if you just formula fed and then your baby will grow and you can see how much they're drinking.
You can see how much they're drinking. And also if you walk down a pharmacy aisle, I mean, if you actually have a look at the formulas, there's a formula for apparently every problem on earth. They are not sleeping well enough, then there's something for the hungry baby. There's something for the baby that's constipated. They wouldn't be constipated if they were on breast milk. So there's so much that they are trying to, you know, lure you in and just give this one bottle. And the problem is with that one bottle, then you're not stimulating. So your supply does end up dropping and then you have too little and then you need to use more formula milk and you're breastfeeding less. So it is something that we just need to be aware of. It's like I said, absolutely no judgment of moms who choose to do that. That is your choice, but we shouldn't be bullying moms into those kind of decisions by feeding into their doubt.
Yeah, and again, I feel that it's so easy at that point. And again, it's a lot to do with the fact that you can't see how much your child is drinking. And again, I had it because I thought it needed to be 20 minutes. It could be done in 10 minutes. Whereas then when my daughter came, I mean, she was a boob grazer and a half.
But I mean, that's the beauty in it. That's the beauty that I always tell moms. Yes, you can't see how much your baby is drinking, but that means you actually have to focus on your baby. You have to look at your baby and your baby's cues and how much, you know, are they still hungry? Are they not? And that actually allows you to get to know your baby and trust your baby on a whole different level rather than just always going by a bottle.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today we're celebrating World Breastfeeding Week. And my guest, again, I've had her on before, is dietitian and certified lactation consultant, Natasha Oerlefier. If you have any questions, please, you can send us questions or comments. Let us know, how long did you breastfeed? Did you enjoy breastfeeding? Was it easy for you, difficult for you? Please, we would love to have your comments on this. If you supported a partner or your daughter, your own child with breastfeeding when they were older, please do let me know. I would love to hear your comments. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear from you. To enjoy our celebration of World Breastfeeding Week. So yes, Natasha, like I said, for me, there is lots of doubts that can come in with breastfeeding. And again, we want to be clear here. This is a safe space. We're not trying to, if you had to or you felt like you had to choose formula for whatever reason. In the end, keep in mind, parenting is a long game.
Definitely.
So one choice is not going to be the be all and end all, but we also want to talk to the moms who are starting off their journey or is in that point now where they're wondering, hey, is this normal, is this not normal, why, what are some of the, I already said for me it was convenience.
Oh, for sure.
Was one of the benefits, but what are some of the benefits of breastfeeding?
So there are many, and we're going to keep it short because we still want to get to some other questions today as well. But breastfeeding really supports healthy brain development in the baby by providing optimal nutrition. It contains everything a baby needs. And like we just spoke about also, it helps with bonding. It helps the mom and the baby to find a bond, which again is not exclusive to breastfeeding, but it's just an easier step in that direction.
It naturally happens. And I exactly. even tell that to newborn moms and to expectant moms. I say to them that skin to skin, the benefits of it is incredible.
Yes.
You have no idea. And I mean, the science behind it and how you can even, you know, change your own body right. temperature. I mean, it's like, it's a miracle.
It's incredible. So it really is incredible.
It is incredible what this female, we are so badass. I mean, come on. It's like, there's no such thing as a sensitive mom or anything like that. We're all really impressive. If you're a mom in whatever shape or form, you are amazing.
For sure.
But the benefit that comes with skin to skin, and again, this kind of happens naturally when you are breastfeeding.
Yes.
And that's what, and so if you're formula feeding, you're holding your baby.
And you need to think about it. You need to do those things consciously where it comes naturally with breastfeeding.
And that's also, and that's for me, the same thing is like, I always like, there's natural things that the body is built to do.
True.
But unfortunately, it doesn't always.
It doesn't always feel that easy. And then please reach out for help. Don't do it by yourself. But yes, there are lots and lots of benefits. Amongst others, also, it helps to improve survival. It protects them against loads of infectious diseases. So especially in wintertime, respiratory diseases, gastro, etc. And then also, it supports a strong microbiome, and it reduces their long-term risk of diabetes, obesity, heart disease, asthma, all those kind of things. For a mom, it helps to lower her rates of breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So that is quite impressive. And then also diabetes and heart disease. And then obviously in the short term, just blood loss because you're not menstruating again as quickly, your uterus contracts quicker, etc. And then also, if we look at the long term in terms of a mom or a family, a healthier baby translates to fewer days of sick leave for the mom. And that means less doctor's visits. So there's more money available. There's more leave days available that are not hopefully all taken up by sick babies.
Also, very expensive formula.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're contributing to keeping the earth clean and not, you know, having formula tins, etc. that obviously need to be thrown out. That can also influence the environment.
So, and I mean, if you really logically think about it, the body is built to produce this. So it's a very natural. So you're not, you know, most formulas are obviously the formation of it is based on an animal.
They are based on human milk to a large degree, but there are a lot of things that we can't add because they are living components.
Yeah.
So we can't add all the antibodies and all
mom.
Those kind of things. Yes, and they are obviously formulated generally of cow's milk.
Yeah.
Trying to meet as similar as possible to breast milk, but yeah, they are trying to meet.
Yeah, but I mean, in the same breath, again, formula, it's not horrible.
No,
there are
no,
really
no,
good things, and it can be super beneficial if you have it. But in the same breath, look at that list of things. And I've seen, I once remembered when I started, I went to a breastfeeding conference, and then there was a list of the benefits and then of breast milk and then of formula milk, and it was a very, very long list. And that kind of stuff, I can't remember all the things you've mentioned, some, but I do.
At least that list stuck.
You also now mentioned earlier, before, when I was asking what's the theme of this year, you said the decreasing amount of moms. And you did mention some stuff that obviously can contribute to that and the marketing and whatever. But what are some of the things we can do now? Because let's stop focusing on that type of stuff. What can we help moms to get them to help them and give them the opportunity to breastfeed for longer?
With those discussions, usually we always start with what can the mom do and what can the family do and what can everyone around the mom do. So I decided this year to take it from the other side and not put all the blame on the mom, because it is a shared responsibility. And there's a lot of things that are playing into making this journey easier or more difficult. Mm-hmm. And we can't place all that responsibility on a mother, because it is not only a mother that is responsible for breastfeeding. So every mom should have access to trained healthcare workers at the hospital. And that should not only start when the baby is born, that should start prenatally during pregnancy. Breastfeeding should be something normal. It should be something we talk about. And it should also be something where we don't always just talk about the glitz and the glam and the glitter and the easy parts, because it's not always easy for everyone. So we need to talk about those things and prepare a mom that the realities are, if you're breastfeeding, if you have a newborn baby wants to drink every more or less 2 hours. That is normal. It's not something that is wrong with your breastfed baby. No. We need to create those expectations and normalize normal newborn behavior and explain to people what that is. And that doesn't happen, like I said, in hospital just after you've had your baby, because information goes in and out. So that needs to happen in pregnancy already. And we want to discuss the benefits and, you know, education, what's going to happen, what to expect. We want to discuss those things beforehand. And then obviously, once the baby is there, we want to provide practical support and assistance with regard to latching. Moms shouldn't have to do this by themselves, because unfortunately, it's not plug and play for all moms. It's not just easy for all moms. So you should have someone by your side who can help you just hold her a little bit differently, or try this, do that.
I mean, even just holding the newborn baby. I remember I could only hold my newborn one side. If I had to give it to my husband, I couldn't give Oscar to Stefan. I had to put Oscar down and Stefan.
Yes. It's little things like that. But all of those things can help the goals of initiating breastfeeding within the first hour. If you have that help, if you have that support, you've just been through major trauma, regardless whether it was a vaginal birth or a cesarean section. If you can have that little bit of help and also that little bit of confidence, you can do this. You know what? If you hold them this way, it works. You can do those things. You are capable. So that's very important.
And knowing it gets better.
Yes. Knowing where you're headed. I mean, yes, they start off feeding every 2 hours. It's not that way for the rest of the journey. That is a couple of months.
Holding them is tricky for the first 2 days.
Exactly. You get into...
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you just joined me, you're on 101.9 Hyphen, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, Yolandi Becker. We had a little bit of a computer. Sometimes that happens
on live radio.
What can you do? It hasn't happened in a while. So I do have to say, like, well done, Craig, in the background for staying calm and collected and getting us back on the air again. We're talking today and celebrating World Breastfeeding Week. And my guest today is Natasha Ulefield, who's a dietitian and lactation consultant. We were just talking about, first of all, we started with the benefits of breastfeeding and talking about those things, and also what society in essence can do to support moms. Because often, and Natasha mentioned it, is that all the pressure gets put on the moms and the responsibility, but lots of the things, it kind of just, we're not setting them up. And I mean, while you were saying these things, and we're going to get into some of the policies and things that we need to put in place, but I mean, while you were saying these things, I was remembering, like, in Germany, so my husband's German, in Germany, you get, after you go home, a midwife that comes to your house for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks, not every day, but like at least once a week, they come in and they come check up to make sure you are fine and to support you in this. And I am sure that the breastfeeding rate there is significantly higher due to this fact that you are constantly reminded what is normal, that your baby is going to wake up in the middle of the night. The support is there in place. And also, you get a year of maternity leave. Dads get 3 months of paternity leave. So all those things, and now we're talking about policies. Now you're going back to work. At the critical, I also feel it's a critical time in the breastfeeding journey, because generally around 3-4 months, the breast milk supply is going according to the demand. So it feels to you as if all of a sudden your boobs are so empty.
Yes.
And now you're going back to work and you're thinking, oh, crap, it's me going back
to
work.
And I need to look into alternatives.
And I know I'd have to look into alternatives. And I feel it's actually, and then lots of, I am sure this is part of those policies. And then you go back to work. You're like, oh, here's the breastfeeding area.
If there is one.
Which is a conference room.
With glass windows for everyone to please see.
That you have to go. And I mean, I would love, I mean, please do. I would love to have the conversation. I do think lots of the things I have to say, the HiveM community is so beautiful. And I think there's a lot of support in this community that is not the norm in other communities. Yes. That I have to say, I do think there's a support system in our community that is different. But in the same breath, our community also works in other communities. And lots of moms, it's very seldom that you get single income households these days. Yes. Both parents, you almost can't survive anymore if just one person is working, or you're very privileged if it's just one person working. So both parents have to work. So you have to go back to work. And I really don't think works. That's what I want to ask now. If you have comments on this, I would love to hear it. Let me know. Does your office have a breastfeeding room or even a policy?
Did you have any support? Were you allowed? Did you get any time allocation? Because according to the, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act in South Africa, there is a code of good practice which recommends that employers give their employees 2 30-minute breaks up until the age of 6 months for the baby. But even that is just a start. That is a very small start. And what are you supposed to do after 6 months? There's a lot of policies that we really need to work on, and we really need to advocate for those moms, because we can't blame it all on the moms, but not support, provide any of the scaffolding and support.
It is small, silly things that I feel make it also. I mean, it's, even if your office has these things, and that's if I, again,
that is amazing.
I would actually love to know. But I mean, then you're going to a meeting and someone schedules a meeting, and that's the time you now have to technically go express.
Yes, or it's a 4 or 5 hour meeting.
Yeah,
and
you're
out,
sitting there and you're like hoping your boobs are not leaking. But I mean, and let's face it, an hour, and then I don't think there's lots of women who would feel comfortable in a male-dominated, most industries are, working, that's why we work in the baby industry.
A lot more understanding.
But, I mean, how many of moms are going to say, hey, sorry, I have to leave this meeting now because I
need to express for my baby.
And even if you do that and you have the grit to do that, which you should.
You absolutely should. But it's
how
difficult.
Many comments are you getting or funny that you're not even hearing and you're thinking about? It's hard. And I mean, it's also like, it's now, again, also for me, easy to think I can do it, but I'm already 41 years old. Yep. I can do it now. I'm telling you, I know when you had babies
exactly.
And you're 20 something.
You feel so insecure. You're just back to work. You've already been off for 4 months. Everyone's already giving you the side eye, and now you need to ask for more time off. It feels like you're doing the wrong thing when you're actually doing the right thing by your family.
I mean, it is. It's a complicated journey. But I mean, there is, like I said, there is policies in place. Is there any, so 2 30-minute breaks, you said. Is there something that we can do as family members? We're going to start this question now, and then we're going to have to go to an ad break just now. But let's start with the question of how can we then, as family, also support our partners and our family members if they have to breastfeed?
I think the important thing is sharing your experiences. No one talks about how hard the first couple of days are, but also nobody talks about how it gets easier. You often hear those horrible stories of, oh my goodness, I was so sore and this and that, and I never slept. Tell them it gets better. Talk about how it goes or how it went for you. Be honest, be a shoulder to cry on, be the support that is there to listen, etc. And then one that I absolutely love is hold the mom and not the baby. Go visit the mom. Go talk to the mom. Support the mom and don't just want to hold and cuddle the baby. Yes, they are super cute, but that mom needs just the same amount of support. So,
and it is really hard. Coming from someone who could take her ego could be taken down a notch. But I remember that's why lots of moms also love pregnancy, is because you get such attention.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone asks how you are doing and how are you doing.
Yes.
And that
it really, and I mean, first of all, you have this all of a sudden responsibility of now taking care of this human being.
That's generally crying.
Yeah, that you didn't, I mean, you know it, but when it happens, it's really like you're sitting there and you're thinking,
that's a life change.
Yeah, it's completely. And now all of a sudden, no one is asking you how you are doing.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and as always, talking parenting, and we're celebrating World Breastfeeding Week. You've missed most of the show, just so that you know. But don't worry, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast after the show on highfm.com. So you can please go listen to them. Thank you so much for those of you who have sent me some DMs on Instagram to suggest some future shows. I love interacting with you all. So please do go follow me, Yolandi Becker, on Instagram, and you can DM me. Like I said, and even if you now have some suggestions, please, you can send them either to info@highfm.com or to Kathy@highfm.com or even to me, Yolandi@goodnightbaby.co.za. I would love to hear from you and interact with you and not just feel like I'm talking into the abyss. But I love it. I love all the comments and also all the grandmas. Lots of grandmas message me. I like that.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, I feel like
you play
popular.
An important role in parenting.
But I do like it. So we've been talking about breastfeeding and how important it is for society as well for us to normalize breastfeeding and to not frown upon it, not create, make it even more difficult, the difficult journey. But also now, I want to talk a little bit if you're like a dad, for instance, or you're a partner and your partner is breastfeeding. How can, because that's often you feel, I've joked about it, called them the useless nipple people. I've done that and I apologize, but there is, and sometimes I feel they feel a little bit helpless in this journey. How can they support moms?
So they absolutely should be your biggest ally. And I think the important thing is to discuss your plans together beforehand so that your partner can support you. If someone, you know, comes and says something that they do, that you don't agree with, that you stand on the same page and he can support you in that regard. And then also, obviously, support your wife. And this can be in carrying on snacks. She'll be super hungry, probably. Making sure she always has a full water bottle. Making sure, especially initially, that there's enough pillows, you know, that you help her get comfortable. Because, like you mentioned, initially, it's quite difficult trying to figure out exactly how do I hold this baby? How do I sit? How do we work together?
And once you get the latch, it's also sometimes, if you're sitting like the same position for 30 minutes, just want someone to like scratch your side.
Exactly. Maybe massage a little bit. I mean, you've probably some days been sitting there for hours. And then also what we get often is, but if my wife is breastfeeding, how can I bond with the baby?
Yeah.
And there are so many things you can do. You do not have to take over a feed. So you can honestly help with the burping, because I found in my practice that dads make the best burpers of babies. I don't know. They have something that just works better than what a mom can do. You can help with nappy changes. You can bring the baby when they want to be breastfeeding. You can help with bathing. And remember, you can also do skin to skin. They get a lot of important bacteria and stuff from you as well. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And I think one of the most important things for dads or for partners to remember is your relationship will change. Children change a relationship. That is normal. Your wife and you maybe even may experience hormonal, emotional, and other challenges, but make sure that you adjust, you adapt, and you grow together throughout this journey.
Oh, Natasha, we've run out of time, and it was so wonderful talking to you about this. And I really feel we've normalized breastfeeding.
I hope so.
We've given parents some support and tips, and please do send us messages. Where can people contact you, Natasha, if they want some assistance?
So you are welcome to have a look at my webpage, www.lactationdietitian.co.za. Or you can send me a WhatsApp or give me a phone call on 072 606 4320, and I'd be happy to help.
Thank you so much for joining me. And on that note, also joining me is Ans van Rensburg, who's the Dis-Chem Admin Clinic Manager. Hi, Ans. How, I haven't spoken to you in a while. How are you?
Good morning, Yolandi. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Just fine. And one of, obviously, the favorite, I know that Dis-Chem, the baby clinics are a very big support system for moms.
Absolutely. And when it comes to breastfeeding, we are incredibly pro-breastfeeding. And our nurses, particularly at our Baby City clinics, really focus on breastfeeding. And our nurses have all attended a training, an additional training, to help with lactation support. We get so many questions about breastfeeding, and every situation is so different. And what Natasha mentioned is that, and what's so important to remember is that often dads or partners really want to be part of the breastfeeding experience, but they don't always know how to be part of it. And it's incredibly valuable to remember that. And so every patient is different. Their needs are different. And it's so valuable that when patients come to us with these questions, that we are able to answer and support where needed.
Oh, and I mean, that is really wonderful. And again, earlier Natasha was speaking about us as society and the processes that needs to be in place. And the reality is that, I mean, these days, I mean, for me, honestly, I went away on holiday to Europe, and the thing I missed the most was Woowa's food and Dis-Chem. Because for me, the Dis-Chem clinics are really wonderful and set up and easily accessible for various people. I'm talking here now also rich and poor type of thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a support that lots of parents have. And I mean, your operating hours are convenient, taking into account moms that have to work and things like that. So in essence, I'm saying thank you, and for you guys, for the support
thank
that
you
are creating, because it is really, I do think those are the small things that can make a difference. And even just, I mean, I know at our Dis-Chem clinic, they even have like a scale outside the clinic and inside the clinic, but so that you can just go weigh your baby.
Exactly. And it's an interactive experience, and it's all about creating access to healthcare.
Yes.
Because if we think about the structure in South Africa at the moment, it's quite difficult. A lot of patients use GPs and other specialists for primary healthcare services, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, it's not a sustainable approach, because we simply do not have enough doctors in South Africa. It's a high demand profession. So it's important to create access and to ensure everyone has a variety of options that they can choose from, depending on what suits their financial situation and also where they are in the country. Different towns, different regions have different needs. So in essence, our clinics really strive towards creating that access and ensuring that patients have, like I said, a variety of choices that they can choose from.
Yeah. And it's really, I feel, bridging a gap and creating opportunities. And sometimes also, all a mom needs is just a little bit of reassurance. And I definitely think if it's easy to go to a Dis-Chem, it's, you can get that reassurance. So again, thank you for you guys also creating this infrastructure to work towards promoting breastfeeding. Is there anything special happening at Dis-Chem for Breastfeeding Week?
For Breastfeeding Week, we are launching our breastfeeding consultation. And then for Women's Month, we are also offering a pap smear consultation special, where it's a pap smear and a rapid HPV test for R199.
What?
So that's something we're offering. Yes, so it's one thing. It's something we are offering until the 15th of August, and patients are encouraged to schedule appointments and to visit their nearest clinic for that. Yep. But for breastfeeding specifically, we are launching our lactation consultation on our baby app. So please do download the app. It's the Dis-Chem Baby app for more info on that.
Okay, great. And as always, it was very wonderful talking to you. Until next week.
Thank you, Landy. Until next week, take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. But don't worry, this show and all of our shows on High FM are available as podcasts on the website highfm.com. It was a great one talking about breastfeeding, creating that support for breastfeeding and to ensure that moms, the journey, let's get that number up from 21% for more moms. And I think it really has to do a lot with policies and support to get those things in place to help moms get that, because it's definitely, I know Natasha said it, it's not just mom's responsibility. It's all of our responsibility to ensure. The next time you see a mom that is struggling to breastfeed or has to breastfeed in public, rather not frown, just smile.
Or is breastfeeding, just encourage them. They're doing great.
Yes, I love that, because that is important. And it's small things like that that goes a long way in the breastfeeding journey. But like I said, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Next week, I am talking about infertility, a difficult topic to talk about, but an important topic to talk about. And I look forward to discussing that with all of you. Please, as always, the most important example you can give your child is the example of kindness. Remember to go out there and be kind. Until next time, enjoy your day.